4, the end of your New Testament. This morning is Father's Day. You know I'm not one to commemorate days too often. I like to stick in a Christmas sermon and an Easter sermon, but I'm not real liturgical in terms of calendars. And commemorative days are nice, but I'm not a big person about them. But today's Father's Day, and I was thinking about Father's Day actually long before I got Matt's email. And today, those Matt and Elizabeth have a special Father's Day, so we're really excited for them, and we'll let him talk a little bit about that when he comes up here. But as I was thinking even yesterday about Father's Day, because we spent the day at the lake with both our daughters, and sons-in-laws and grandchildren, and had a wonderful time seeing Captain Brandon too, so that was really good. But I had one verse that was going through my mind yesterday as we were driving, and that is from 1 John 4, verse 18. And I want you to think of this in terms of the Father's love, our Heavenly Father and our earthly fathers. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. But we love because he first loved us. You know, we confess our sins because we are unlovable. That's right, we are unlovable. But God in his mercy and grace makes us lovable. Through Christ we are lovable. And through his love, our fear of God, which we ought to have, is cast out. Why? Because he loved us first. Because he initiated his love toward us while we were aliens, strangers, enemies of God. He said, I'm going to choose you and love you. That is grace. That is mercy. This morning, as we confess our sin, we are acknowledging our unlovableness, but it is always combined with an understanding of his mercy and grace that makes us lovable. So please, this morning as we pray, think how unlovable you are. And think how wonderful his mercy is. As you confess your sins, your shortcomings, your rebellion against our Father, who loves us anyway through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we have sinned against you. We have sinned in word and deed and in thought. We have turned against you. We have done evil things. But your grace is sufficient. Your mercy is everlasting. You are perfecting us in love, we who are unperfectible, those of us who are very evil in our hearts. You have perfected us through Christ as you have given us your righteousness. Lord, we want to be people of love, to extend love to our children, to extend love to one another, to perfect our love. And yet we know that the only basis that we can do so is because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for selecting us out of the world, for choosing us when we were unlovable, for working in us to perfect us, to make us lovable. Lord, thank you that where there is love, there is no punishment. That you have cast away all fear of you that we have through the finished work of Christ. So that we come trembling in our sins. We come crying, thank you, we love you, in our forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our confession of faith, we'll be continuing in the Westminster Confession of Faith Shorter Catechism. We'd reach those moral duties that God imposes on man, which are comprehended in the Ten Commandments, and we had made our way to the Fourth Commandment. The last time I took some time talking about the various controversies about the application of the Fourth Commandment or how it's to be interpreted, and I pointed out that in regard to those questions, is the Sabbath still obligatory? The Westminster Confession takes the position that it is. It's a creation ordinance as well as a Sinai ordinance. Second, which day of the week is the appropriate day to celebrate the Sabbath? Westminster takes the position that it's the first day, the Lord's Day, as described in the New Testament. And then finally, what activities are permitted on the Sabbath day? We talked about the continental view, the Puritan view, and Westminster takes the Puritan view that we should refrain even from recreations on the Sabbath day. So we're now going to read through those questions which have to do with the Fourth Commandment. I'll read the answer and then ask the question and ask you to join me in reading the answer. Which is the Fourth Commandment? The Fourth Commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What is required in the Fourth Commandment? The Fourth Commandment requires the keeping holy to God such set time as He hath appointed in His Word, expressly one whole day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to Himself. Which day of the seven hath God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employment and recreation as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. What is forbidden in the Fourth Commandment? The Fourth Commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employment or recreation. Finally, what are the reasons annexed to the Fourth Commandment? The reasons annexed to the Fourth Commandment are God allowing the 6 days of the week for our own employment, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and His blessing the Sabbath day. Did I just read the modern English version of that? It's a little bit clearer, perhaps. What are the reasons for the Fourth Commandment? The reasons for the Fourth Commandment are these. God allows us 6 days of the week to take care of our own affairs. He claims the seventh day as His own. He set the example, and He blesses the Sabbath.